The news we made today was releasing our greenhouse gas reporting guidance, which is important because the executive order that the president signed last year for the first time set a greenhouse gas emission reduction goal for the federal government, which is 28% by 2020. And to achieve that, we need to know what we're doing now and to show improvement. So it was important to develop this tool for agencies to use so that they can measure and report their greenhouse gas emissions. And they thought it made sense to sort of do it government-wide. And obviously, agencies will apply it, and their first report is due in January. So hopefully this gives them enough time to get everything set. But it builds on good work that was, that's been done outside of the government, and also things that the federal government's learned about how you measure greenhouse gas emissions.
Obviously, this is a new effort by the government, but greenhouse gas emissions is something people have been paying attention to for quite some time. Do we have a baseline or any even estimated baseline for the government about what the greenhouse gas emissions are?
We have some sense of what they are, and it is just an estimate. So this tool will help us to get a sort of a more accurate reading and also look agency by agency so agencies can figure out where the best opportunities for them to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions are. So they've also submitted sustainability plans. Those are available publicly. You can find them. So this is a good, it's both a good tool for agencies to use to figure out what they need to do and to measure their progress, but also for the public to understand what the federal government is doing.
The guidance obviously is giving agencies some ways to go measure it. You use the word tool. When you think of tool, you think of a piece of software. You think of something to put data into and get analysis out of. Are you talking in that sense, or are you talking more of a tool as in the guidance as a tool?
I think more of the guidance as a tool. I think there are a lot of different ways that people have thought to measure greenhouse gas emissions, a protocol. But some things about the federal government and the way the federal government operates that are pretty specific to the federal government. So we thought it was important to give, to build on work that's been already done, but to kind of make, tailor it for the federal government.
Can you just talk briefly maybe what are the biggest challenges to measuring those greenhouse gases that a lot of agencies maybe will face? I know each agency is different, but just generally, what are you seeing? What are you hearing from agencies around that, those challenges?
Well, I think it's just that the sort of how do you take the mission of very different missions of agencies and quantify the greenhouse gas emissions associated with them. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge. But we also see, you know, great enthusiasm for understanding greenhouse gas emissions and reducing them, the agencies reducing them. And really, I think the biggest, you know, the most important thing is that this connection to mission. So trying to understand sort of the environmental impacts of an agency's mission.
A lot of things are going on across government around energy efficiency, greening of government. At the Green Gov Symposium, there's 11 categories, and each category had multiple sessions. When you look across the government, what areas are going well around greening? What areas really could use a little more push, maybe needs to be improved? Give us kind of a status check of where we're at, basically a year into this effort under the executive order.
The most encouraging thing, and I think the thing that will make the most long-term difference, is how much agencies are viewing this now as part of their mission. And that, I think, is really the critical shift in thinking. And so it's almost less important the specific, you know, the specific, whether it's energy or water or using more sustainable materials or green procurement, things like that. But really that we see agencies really making this part of their mission. And so we often use the Department of Defense as a great example where they'll tell you that transporting fuel to their forward operating locations in Afghanistan puts troops at risk every day. And so if there are ways that they can either use fuel more efficiently or make their own energy at their forward locations, they will actually save lives. So they look at their facilities, even in the United States, concerns about, you know, reliability of the grid and their need to always have power is driving the Department of Defense to look increasingly at distributed generation like renewables. And they are fortunate to have a lot of space in some of their facilities, particularly out west. So it really is part of the mission now. And we see that all across these agencies. So it's not just the Department of Energy or the EPA, but it's really, you know, we heard some presentations this morning from the, for example, the National Archives, where energy use is they have to preserve all of those records. So they have to have the right temperature and the right humidity. And that's a lot of energy that they use and a lot of water they use to do that. And So if they can find ways to do that more efficiently, it makes their mission of preserving America's history easier, cheaper, and more sustainable into the future.
The White House is doing several other things, such as greening the cafeteria so there's no styrofoam and compostable materials for use for forks and knives and things like that. What's the impact of that so far? What are the other things that the White House is considering just internally to become more energy efficient?
Well, I think for the White House, it's a lot like this conference. I mean, see employees in the White House complex asking and coming up with ideas about how we can run the complex in a greener way. So, for example, we just last week inaugurated one of the bike share stations on the campus itself within the White House complex, working with the District of Columbia in part of their bike share program. And that was really driven by people who work in the complex who said, you know, why do I have to catch a cab to go come over here to George Washington University? Why not make it easy for me to use a bike? And so a lot of it, I think, is driven by people, as we've seen in this conference, people coming up with ideas and then just trying to find where are the opportunities. For example, outside of the CEQ buildings on Lafayette Park, we put LED lights, and they're a personal favorite of mine. They are energy efficient, they give great light, and they're also not shining in my face when I walk out if it's dark out and I feel like I'm going to fall down the stairs. So, those are innovations that sometimes we see, like the lights, sometimes we don't notice quite as much. For example, there are LED lights now in the press briefing room. So the quality of light is good, they save energy, and maybe it's invisible to folks who are in there every day, but it's a real improvement.
I got to ask the question. You just mentioned the bike share. Did you bike here to George Washington for the GreenGov Symposium today?
No, I walked.
Just as good then, right?
It's good. I actually, my commute, if I took the commuter survey we just heard about, would fill in that I walk to work, walk to and from work every day. So I no carbon footprint. It's good for my health. I don't add to congestion or air pollution here in the district. So I'm very happy to be a commute by feet.